Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Go Big Blue.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, Dirty Show, T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, a.k.a. the face that produces the place, Tyler Milner. A little bit later on, he will have his best bets, as he will try to get himself back into the green after starting off in the red last night. Five bets.
It's been a rough several days, boys.
We got to be getting close to Clint, him not having room for you, it feels like, based off last week.
I imagine we're already there.
Maybe. I got faith. No? No. Okay. All right. The Astros, they get going tonight. They got a day off, and they've got six games left, Clint. They are currently tied with the same record with the Cleveland Guardians, but the Guardians have the tiebreaker. And the good news is they are facing the Tigers, which really the Tigers are in play too, because they're only one game above the Guardians. And so that's a tough matchup for the Guardians, clearly. And the Astros have the advantage of playing the Athletics, and then they'll follow that up with the Angels, and those are two teams that aren't playing for postseason, probably playing a lot of young guys and trying to play out the string for the final six games. So hopefully they're able to take advantage of this while the other teams in front of them have tougher matchup. Christian Javier gets the ball tonight, and what they really need is avoid what was happening in the Seattle series, and that was Seattle getting into big leads early in games and this thing just really getting out of hand, you know, 6-0, 7-0, 7-1. They got to get off to a good start, and they really need Christian Javier to give them a big performance tonight.
Well, yeah, I mean, they need everybody to step up. Look, these are games you got to win. You should go 6-0 in these games. I mean, when it boils down to
6-0.
Yeah, I mean, look, you got the A's and the Angels, and they've all folded up shop, man. I mean, this is the time when if you've got Carlos Correa, you've got Jose Altuve, you got Peña, you got all these guys that are, you know, tried and true. They've there's pelts on the wall, man. You've got to put the pressure on any and everybody that's in the standings right around you and do what you you still have it in the palm of your hands right here and you got two bad opponents. So yeah, I mean you got to go get every one of these.
Yeah. By the way, it was just announced with the Astros that Brandon Walter had Tommy John surgery yesterday.
Damn.
That damn, you said sound. Was so,
here we go.
So real. Damn. That was so genuine, you guys. That is the latest injury report there. Also, because they're playing West Coast, we don't have the lineups yet. Jeremy Peña is one to watch as he missed the last game with that oblique situation. He'd have had 2 days off in a row. Hopefully, he is back in the lineup. But yeah, they need to win these two series at the very least, right? And they got to put themselves in a situation where, all right, we win these two series, we take at least four of these six games, and I think that would probably be good enough to get them in. I know the Guardians have been really, really hot, but that will probably be good enough to get them in. So
four of six, huh? That's what you need.
Yeah, I think if they take two games in both of these series, I think they should be fine.
I really just need them to win at least three of these damn six ball games, boys.
Oh, you got the because you were rolling easy.
Oh, it's been like rolling easy all year, even amidst the nightmare.
What is the over? Or what was your
I placed a futures bet before opening day on over 86.5 regular season wins.
Oh boy.
So they have to win three of these last six. Or I'm gonna y'all know I told Clint earlier, I care a lot more about the Astros playing in October and the team and going after a World Series. But that's gonna bring me to a new level of pissed offness.
Okay, that's a new level of pissed offness. Hopefully you don't get there. Hopefully you don't get there. But hopefully they get off to a good start and they go ahead and take care of business on their little West Coast trip.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint, the Texans, big news today, released safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He was one of their top offseason additions as they traded their former first-round pick, Kenyon Green, to the Eagles to get Gardner-Johnson. And for most of the year, we heard his teammates praising him for his leadership and his Super Bowl pedigree and his success and the energy that he brings. And we were at training camp. He was the loudest voice that we heard, but all of a sudden we are hearing, I mean, as soon as they released him, I mean, they're rolling out all of the reasons and negatives from him. We were on earlier with Mike Florio. He joined us, by the way, if you're looking for that, 3 o'clock. Use the Odyssey app or rerun feature later on and listen to that full interview with Mike Florio as he gave us his thoughts on the Joe Mixon situation, on C.J. Stroud, the overall situation with the Texans, and what's going on with them. But this is his thoughts on the release of C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
There's a weird vibe that comes from the Texans, and I'd love to be able to peel back the curtain and get to the truth about what's really happening, because it just seems like something is off generally. There's friction behind the scenes between C.J. Gardner-Johnson and teammates, because that's how he ended up in Houston in the first place. Whatever it is that caused the Eagles to say, we got to get this guy out of here, manifesting itself already in Houston, causing the organization to say, we got to get this guy out of here. Doesn't matter they traded for him, we got to get this guy out of here. And it's going to be better. It's going to be addition by subtraction. And I assume that that's exactly what it was. It's more about personality and getting along with others or not than it is about his playing.
All right, that was Mike Florio. And as he said, clearly there was a thought they've got to get him out of here. And Clint, I do want to hear in a second get to what this looks like on the field for the Texans, because This causes some problems in terms of their secondary right now. But just your thoughts. Were you shocked and surprised when you heard this earlier today?
Shocked, yeah, in a big way. I mean, this is a guy that was brought in to be an alpha leader. This is a guy that was brought in to be a mouthpiece. This is a guy that you bring in, and he's been to a Super Bowl. He's won a Super Bowl. He's got pelts on the wall. He's outspoken. You knew that when he came in. Like Florio said, you knew what you were signing up for. For that guy to then get here and before you play a month's worth of football games, he's booted up out of here is very, very interesting. I don't know. I've seen all the plays that people are referring to in a sense of he being a part of some coverage busts. There's no doubt there's something wrong with the coverages, but I don't know if it's all C.J. Gardner-Johnson on those particular issues. I got to believe that this is bigger in a sense of he and D'Amico Ryans not seeing eye to eye. This is bigger than just being critical of teammates and holding guys accountable. I would argue that you bring him in here knowing he does that kind of thing, thinking that that's what your team needs, is somebody that in-house is going to keep people accountable. And I got to believe that this has more to do with, at some point, D'Amico Ryans getting involved and that even blowing up in the face of C.J. Gardner-Johnson and ultimately the Texans. So, my man didn't even last a month, so yeah, it's
shocking. I can't believe that. Yeah, I couldn't believe. You would just imagine, like, we can, and we'll discuss what the Texans have talked about. This ain't, to me, I wouldn't think about no blown coverages. This, as you said, this is bigger. This is something, somebody got out of pocket, and apparently C.J. Gardner-Johnson got out of pocket with somebody that he didn't need to get it, or that he shouldn't get out of pocket with resulted in him being released and let go, because they're willing to eat up, you know, the money that they have to they have invested in him. Like you said it earlier, that wasn't even a trade. That didn't seem like they gave enough time to do that. He just had to roll. But Clint, what this means now, as they said, or as reported by Aaron Wilson earlier, MJ Stewart will step up into his role. But this means right now the only other members of the secondary that they have on the bench right now is Tremont Smith. And that is iffy because hopefully we'll hear from D'Amico, who will be live right here around 2:30 tomorrow, so you don't want to miss that. Hopefully we'll hear an update on Derek Stingley Jr., and he can go. But if he's unable to go, then that, you would think Tremont Smith takes the role like he did last week. And, Clint, they're down to the practice squad DBs are Arnett, Miles Bryant, and D'Angelo Ross. So that's where they are right now when it comes to the secondary.
Well, I think Miles Bryant is an immediate call-up to fill that void of C.J. Gardner-Johnson just from a numbers perspective, can play multiple positions. And I don't know. I'm interested to see what they do at that corner position. I mean, we've seen Ross get absolutely torched, and so that's got to be a special teams move, if anything. I wonder if Arnett gets a shot here to be a reserve corner for this football team. I think Tremont Smith played well enough to be the number two corner, obviously. And if you need to carry three, whether it's to play three true cover corners or it's just in a reserve role in an insurance plan role, you need to carry three. So I wonder if Arnett's going to get another shot this early in the season.
We'll see. So that is the latest there. We'll talk a little bit more on C.J. Gardner-Johnson and give you the direct details of the Texans themselves, according to team sources, what they had to say about why he had to be out of here. That's coming up here in a little bit later.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint, our first quarterback change, the Giants. They are planning to start their rookie first-round draft pick, Jackson Dart, on Sunday against the Chargers. Russell Wilson started the season as their starter, had a rough game, ho-hum game against the Commanders, then had a great game where he threw for 450 and three touchdowns against the Cowboys, and then another tough one where he had multiple interceptions and then just had a four-down goal-to-goal series that most people are talking about. They get him out of there after three games. Jackson Dart is now the starter. Do you like this move for the Giants? You like this for Jackson Dart? You think this is the right play for him right now?
Yeah, I think it's the right play. I mean, he played a lot of football in college. It's not like he needs reps. I mean, yeah. I think, you know, waiting a month into the season to start him, I think, is a plus because now he's gone through a training camp. He sat and watched for 3 weeks. I think the team needs it desperately. I think there is a level of with Jackson Dart, which I doubted, obviously. He's already exceeded my expectations getting drafted in the first round and even being considered to be a starter right now. But I think there's a level of swag, there's a level of leadership, there's a level of just genuine, sincere alpha that this team needs desperately. And why wait until it's too late? Why wait until Russell Wilson, you know, you lose enough games with Russell Wilson that it doesn't matter? Why not get him in there when there's still something to play for? So, yeah, I'm good with it, man.
Yeah, I can go either. The offensive line for the Giants are rough. But Jackson Dart's a mobile kid that can probably do a little bit better than what Russ is doing. And, listen, I don't think it's all been Russ, but I think it's obviously it's time. After Sunday night, that was rough. It looks like all he has is the deep ball.
Yeah.
That's all he has. There's no other throws that he feels comfortable making, and he just puts them up, and it's just jump balls, and then that leads to turnover.
Well, I don't have a lot of confidence in Brian Daboll and the group up there after what we've watched the last handful of years. But
it's just crazy to say after what happened with Josh.
Right. Well, the thing here is you hope. What I hope for Jackson Dart is that this is a situation where the offense needs a spark. The offense needs a guy that Malik Nabers and everybody believes in, and this is a chance to start over and grow a little bit with the offense. And Jackson Dart has proven over, being with the team for 2.5 months or whatever it is that hey, he's got a little something to him. He's got a little. He'll be a nice little shot in the arm for the squad. Squad believes in.
Preseason went well for him.
Yeah. So I do think if his play from college translates to the NFL, the ability to keep drives alive with his legs, the willingness to drive the foot and ability to drive the football down the field consistently and make those throws, if that transitions, you know, to a small degree, I think it's going to be a big boost to this team.
So we'll see what that looks like. They've got the 3-0 Chargers coming to New York in his first start. So we'll see how that
looks. 5 o'clock fire.
All right, last night was a really, really good Monday night football game. The Lions walked into Baltimore and beat the Ravens. And a big reason why is, one, they could not stop them from running the football. 224 yards rushing the football. But Derrick Henry had another big fumble in the fourth quarter, just like he did against Buffalo, to help turn that game around. He's fumbled in three straight games, lost fumbles in three straight games to start off their season. He was very apologetic. He was really down about this. Should the Ravens be on a high level of concern right now, Clint? They're one and two, number one in scoring offense, but 32nd in total defense and 31st in scoring defense, allowing 32 a game.
Well, I mean, I'm not because of Derrick Henry fumbling. I mean, the reality of it is, yes, that has swung games, but the reality of it is they got a defense problem. I mean, they're getting ran through. Baltimore's defense is, I don't know if it's ever been ran through like this, like it's going on right now.
Ridiculous.
So, yeah, so I mean, they got to fix their defense. There's no doubt about that. The offense is definitely capable of keeping them in games and even winning high-scoring shootouts, but they got to get that defense fixed, or the thought of them being one of the top AFC teams and mentioned in that same vein as the top teams in the NFL, that's probably going to come to an end pretty quick.
Yeah, and it's weird, man. I know they had Kyle Van Oy was missing last night. Nnamdi Matabike was missing last night, their best defensive lineman. I think he's an Aggie, isn't he?
He was Justin.
He was Justin.
He changed his name.
Yeah,
huh?
He went back. Yeah, he went on back. Yep. And those are big misses across that D line, but damn, man, I mean, David Montgomery was just running through them. I mean, he had like 12 carries for 151 and 2 touchdowns. Good luck if you played him in fantasy. I mean, he ran through. It is odd. They just got too many dudes over there.
Yeah.
Roquan Smith, Kyle Hamilton, Marlon Humphrey, you know, Matabike. They just got too many guys over there where they just keep stinking it up. So I think they'll figure it out at some point, but they may want to pick it up. Remember, it is a Texans Ticket Tuesday. You got a chance to win a pair of Texans tickets in this 5 o'clock hour. Be our winner. 2 tickets in the bullpen, front row in the bullpen. You have a chance to win that in this hour. All right, coming up as we continue, we got to look at the piece that DJ Bieniemy wrote on exactly, according to a Texans team source, more details on why they felt they had to make the move with releasing C.J. Gardner-Johnson. We'll do that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, let's do it. Caller number 8 for C.J. Gardner-Johnson. His last night here, as a Texan caller.
Damn.
Number 8 on his last day as a Texan. This is for you.
Yocho.
Caller number 8, 713-572-4610. Caller number 8, your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Texans-Titans game coming up on Sunday. Front row seats in the bullpen. You can be our winner right now. Tyler will open up those phone lines. Caller number 8-713-572-4610. You'll be our final winner of the day. There was a winner on Payne and Pendergast. There was a winner on In the Loop, and you will be our final winner today. Pair of front row seat tickets in the bullpen. Hopefully get that taken care of for you. All right, Clint, I think the other part and piece, this was as shocking as the release news to me, and that is the aggressive route that it appears I can only say the Texans because DJ Bieniemy, who wrote a great piece, and it says he's getting this info from Texan sources that lay out Clint in every way of why, in detail of why they moved on from C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I thought it just started earlier today with what with Wilson had to say. Why do I just drop my man's name up? But he tweeted this out and said that the Texans released C.J. Gardner-Johnson after friction behind the scenes with veteran safety, criticizing teammates, complaints about his role, including wanting to blitz more frequently, and also reported that he offered a trade request. Also, so that was earlier today. And then later on, DJ Bieniemy came in and said and made his report and said, this is coming from a Texan source. And he cites this: each Texans loss has been all three losses have been by 7 points or less at a minimum, according to team sources. Gardner Johnson allowed three big plays in those games that contributed to the opposing offenses scoring touchdowns, adding that Gardner Johnson has struggled to consistently guard the correct opposing player when required to, in quotes, match coverage. Based on the Texans' defensive call and routes run by the offense, struggles that also occurred during walkthroughs in the lead up to games. They even, Clint, go breakdown from breakdown. They give a play in week one in which they gave up a touchdown in which they say Gardner Johnson was responsible for and at fault, and that Kamari Lassiter tried to clean up. They give an example in week two in the Bucs game that an over route that was his responsibility as they were in a cover two and he decided to cover a breaking in route, 10-yard route, instead of covering his half of the field that resulted into a touchdown in which they lost by one game. And then the one you talked about earlier when you did your tape drop Tuesday, the big play to Brian Thomas Jr. late in the game where he should have had the middle of the field. Instead, he tried to jump the out route and left Kamari Lassiter, who thought he had inside help, left him out to dry, and he scored, or at least got to the 10 and set up the winning touchdown. They also said, compounding the coverage bust, Gardner Johnson has refused to take responsibility for his mistakes, rubbing his teammates the wrong way, sources added, with one member of the team saying Gardner Johnson pointed fingers instead of owning up to his mistakes. So they give a full detail reason, both his attitude and him repeatedly making mistakes in every single game that led to scores. I'm as shocked, Clint, that they, to me, this looks like damage control and we want to get it out right now. This was within 2 hours them releasing him to get that. I've never seen a team go into that depth and detail about a player they're releasing like this in my life. I found that part wild that they did.
Well, yeah, look, I mean, it is wild, but I questioned the report. Just at first glance, I went back and was able to look at the plays and I kind of questioned what was going on here. And I'll respond to those three plays that are actually mentioned. The Rams touchdown, I mean, because here's the problem with D'Amico's defense. There's so much disguising going on that it's hard to decipher in, you know, what the hell's going on. So, but the Rams touchdown that they're referring to was, I think some kind of man coverage. I don't think it was cover two. It was some kind of man coverage. And the two tight ends to one side, I think they exchanged. One blocked and went out on a route, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson's guy was the guy on the route instead of the guy that was blocking. So that's where the cross-up could have happened. The Bucs touchdown, I think was C.J. Gardner-Johnson is playing some kind of quarters and they throw the ball over the top of him, which I would question if it's supposed to be cover two. Why is Bullock chasing the over route? Some interesting things there. And then the Jags touchdown, I think, is cover zero. I think Gardner Johnson jumping that out route in cover zero, it's what he's supposed to do. The question I have is, why are both corners playing outside technique and giving those in-breaking throws, just giving them away? So I've got questions on a couple of them of whether, you know, what they're trying to do. Are they disguising themselves out of position? Or is C.J. Gardner-Johnson really the one to blame here and for not playing the coverages right? They are disguising so much that it's hard to tell exactly what they're trying to do and who's out of position and who's busting coverage. But at second glance, I think there is a, you know, the Rams touchdown could be a major bust by C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I think the other ones are questionable.
Who really knows? I think, as you said earlier, I would be shocked if we don't hear from C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I'll be shocked if we don't hear a rebuttal from this.
As would I.
Because the part that gets me is, let's say that they are dead right on everything they put down. And someone texted in, y'all were begging earlier for transparency about C.J. You got it now. You can't believe they released this statement.
What? Oh, yeah. No, I, by the way.
You think a statement's transparency?
That's not their statement. This is just a source. This could be anybody in the building.
And I mean, that's fair,
let's be honest,
too.
It could just be a play to get something out there.
Come on.
I get down with it. I'm good. Like I don't necessarily know that releasing something, an unnamed source releasing something to a media member is the transparency I'm looking for. But it doesn't surprise me that they're trying to get ahead of the situation.
Yeah. This sounds like damage control to me personally. This sounds like this was put out as a plan to get out in, as you said, get out in front of things. And yeah, I am surprised that they went this hard to make him look this bad. I am surprised that they publicly are going out of their way to make him look this. They went in detail of coverage and breakdowns of the play. I've never seen anything. Man, they can't stand his ass. They can't stand him. Like, you ain't never seen no coach come out on the way out. I mean, if it were the same people who made this decision. Make the decisions for the Astros whenever Framber's last day is. Whoa. I mean, the stories they would run out there about Framber. Like, I've just never seen anything like it. That they were just that detailed. They want y'all to have the narrative painted that this dude was a bad teammate, a bad player that was selfish,
that couldn't pick up the system.
That would do anything he wanted to do. And also, they want us to also believe all of that and know that they just kept playing his ass. They kept playing him. They get a breakdown of that. That even the play that they talked about in Jacksonville, he kept playing the next plays. That would have been the third week in a row he'd blown coverages that led to scores, but they kept playing him. Just an odd situation. All right, coming up, T-Mill's best bets. And Clint has the R word, regression. When it comes to C.J. Stroud, what's he seeing and what does this mean? That's coming up next.
Now, Kathy Bates, that's a bad bitch right there.
I don't know how long.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Congratulations to Brandon in Baytown, who won a pair of tickets.
Come on now. Dirty, get on the east side, baby. Over in the dirty.
What up, Dirty Man?
Sunday's game on the front row in the bullpen. Congratulations to Brandon. Hope to see you out there. Coming up behind us is Texans All Access. Tremon Smith will be live. Also, Indy Kalu. Area 45, 8 to midnight. They follow Texans All Access, and I'm sure they will, be getting you through and doing post-game show. That thing ends in Sacramento as the Astros are in an all-important game, one of that series against the A's, and I'm sure they will be talking a lot about C.J. Gardner-Johnson and the news of the day. T-Mill's best bets coming up in just a bit. All right. I ain't talked to this cat on the phone in a minute. Larry in Stafford. Go ahead, man. What you think about this C.J. Gardner-Johnson stuff?
So, you know, man, I don't ask for a lot in life, man. But I just ask that my football team don't be a circus, right? So I spent a lot of time this summer getting up at 2:30 in the morning, sleeping in my truck to go get in line over there to get a good spot to watch practice during training camp. Bought all the new merch, got that old silly Texas Tech looking red shirt that with that T on it, thinking that they gonna do some fire stuff with that. Then I'm thinking, I'm watching my boys play, man, and I'm hearing all the reports about how CJ is struggling and the offense is struggling, but I'm like, nah, dog, this is gonna be the year that we gonna make this thing work, and they got all the parts. And we 3 games into the season and all hell and broke loose. Let me say this, man. On the C.J. Gardner thing, I don't know what happened, but I can tell you, if they moved him like that, it had to be really bad, man, because if you don't set up a trade to try to get something for a dude that's an asset, that means they wanted your ass out of that ASAP. They didn't even let you load your stuff up in a U-Haul. They just put your stuff out on the front of NRG and told you to get on. And I don't know. Yeah, it was close, though. I know it was. I caught it, though. But I'm going to tell you what I do know. Y'all ain't going to distract me, Houston, Texas. Y'all ain't going to distract me. I see that old putrid-ass offense. I still see Nick Kaylee over there. And C.J. Stroud over there not being able to score, throw more than 250 yards. This is a problem, fellas. And I thought we was going to the Super Bowl. And every year that everybody buys in and get back behind this squad, they break us back down, man. It's a pain in my neck, and I'm getting sick and tired of it. And you know what, Clint? I'm going to take me a little treat. I ain't going to the Titans game this weekend. I'll holler.
All right, that's Larry in Stafford. He'll be there. It's Tuesday. He'll work
himself back. He's going to take him a break, man. He's going to get a little rest on Sunday.
He'll work himself back up. He knows his team needs him.
I think he's serious this time.
Okay. It's all right. It's Tuesday. He'll get there. There is the thing that he said off the top, and I think Tyler said it earlier today when we were in prep, and that is the damn man. They have a real circus feel. This feels like a circus brewing thing. It feels like it's starting not to just be about ball. You got people like Mike Florio talking about what's going on. Something vibe smells weird. Something feels weird. Damn it, we've been through that. Trust, we remembered it. We came in every day for work for several years of just more circus than ball. And it feels like they're there. And D'Amico and Nick and CJ, they got to get a hold of this. But this today does not add to it as well. And this is more drama. Right? They've added more drama to it because you know what's going to happen? Unless they are sitting here today, especially Clint Tyler, the way they've described CJ Gardner-Johnson today, if they're expecting him to take the high road to maybe slow down this train of drama, then they're crazy. Clearly he's not. They have shoved him into a corner and said, fight, come out, and he is going to. I'm ready for the CJ Gardner-Johnson rebuttal, and he's gonna drag a whole bunch of stuff out there, and they're just adding more to the fire. It's just, damn it, I thought we got rid of this with Jim.
Y'all want to hear and want a reminder of what one Charles Omenihu had to say after he departed the Houston Texans a while back? Here it was.
A lot more structure. The leadership between the coach and the GM, it doesn't seem like it's a power struggle. It's very like they're on the same page. They have an understanding of what they want. They make it very clear of what they want from GM to head coach, from head coach to the position coaches. And it's not a circus show here.
But it was feeling that way.
Woo!
It had been feeling that way.
By the
with
way,
D'Amico.
He was referring to where he went versus where he's at.
Yes, I set that up for him.
But it had been that way here. Like, you felt like there was a synergy between Nick Caserio and D'Amico and everybody until whatever happened at the end of last year with Bobby Slowick and that whole mess since then, it's been brewing and brewing and brewing, and now it's a circus. And in the midst of it, Clint's watching film, and in the middle of the circus, even more than that, you're seeing, damn, it looks like CJ's regressing.
Yeah, look, I think it's only natural to see him regress, but it's, you know, given what he's had to deal with, but it's even more so to me necessary to talk about it now, given kind of how this team approached training camp and just let the defense, just create as much chaos as you could around the quarterback, like he needed any help dealing with chaos after last year. And so I just think watching the film, man, I mean, there's two different occasions where if C.J. Stroud just takes a quick slide step one direction or the other, there's one time where if he pushes back up into the pocket hard like all quarterbacks do, he's got some room to work. You avoid the pressures. More importantly, you keep yourself in position to make big throws and make plays for your team. It's just never been more obvious to me. Making the poor decision on the interception, I mean, that's the corner did play that well, but you can't throw that ball flat and try to fit it in there. You got to throw that ball over the top. And so C.J. Stroud, whether you're talking about decision-making or you're talking about the pocket movement, poise in the pocket, or you're talking about, you know, having an early eject button versus hanging in there, there's just some serious things that you can see wrong with C.J. Stroud's game. And by the way, I'm not knocking him. I understand. It's understandable as – you know, as much as he's gotten hit the last year and a half and as rough as training camp was, everything has been set up for this guy to regress. You know what I mean? I mean, it's nothing has been set up to, hey, CJ, while we're installing this offense, we're going to give you good, clean looks every day, man. We want you to see that pocket develop. We want you to push up in that pocket. We want you to see the ball leave your hands. And that receiver catch it, have success. We want to give you a good clear picture so you can read the secondary and see your concepts unfold. And, man, we want to get you good and confident. And that's our number one goal. We want to get you good and confident, good and comfortable, and let you install this offense and go get as far along as you can installing this offense. Instead of doing that, we went out there and created as much chaos as we could on a daily basis around the quarterback. And he, on a daily basis, was throwing picks. On a daily basis, making poor decisions. On a daily basis, throwing off his back foot, and now you see kind of what the result of that, and I think it's very real. We've had some general conversations about it, Ron. I think it's very real that C.J. Stroud is, you said, skittish earlier. I think that's the best way to put it. Whether you're you come to the line of scrimmage and you're making hasty decisions because your internal clock's turned up so much because you've been living in so much chaos. Or you're throwing the ball, you're getting the ball out early when you don't need to. You're throwing it flat in the defender's hands when you don't need to. There's no question about it. CJ's regressed.
Is it concerning enough where you're like, man, these habits are starting to develop so much, and we're seeing like it. This is a real uphill climb for it to get fixable. Right? Like,
oh yeah. No, look, all of this stuff is an uphill battle to get fixed. I mean, there's no question about that. And I just don't know how you help C.J. Stroud in the middle of the season with these issues. Now, like I said, if I were working with C.J. Stroud, whether I was his strength coach or his quarterback coach, every single day, including your off day, we would spend 30 minutes working on pushing back up in the pocket, your slide steps, you know, working just your basic movements in the pocket to get you. I got to reiterate that to you as much as I can. Now, when the game comes, I mean, you gotta navigate chaos using your quarterback feet, using your quarterback toolbox. And right now, he's navigating pressure by just belling. Right, he's seeing pressure when no pressure is there and throwing the ball early. He's having trouble processing. All right, we don't have A gap blitzers, and I should be really good and comfortable. And let me now stand in here. And take an extra beat. You know, he's having a hard time processing all of that and consistent. I mean, he threw a flat route to Dalton Schultz into a rolled corner in cover two. Like, I mean, that's football 101. You never do that. And he did it like he was getting blitzed, and he wasn't. And so it's just like he's having a
skittish.
Yeah, skittish is the right word. I mean, whether you're talking about his mechanics or his thought process, Right now, it's all sped up and it's all rough.
Yeah, sped up too. That's a good one. Yeah, and listen, you understand with the pressure that he has dealt with the last year and a half. You could see it in Clint. And I said this yesterday, and I think this is from the guy who is considered the best in the game. I think Patrick Mahomes is doing this, is dealing with the same thing. I think Clint, if you went and watched Patrick Mahomes' film, you would see a lot of the same things. Pat just has an eject button that maybe CJ doesn't have, and he's kind of more used to it, and it isn't, you know, he's able to get himself out of it at times, but it's not unusual. I think the best quarterback in the game is dealing with it right now, and that's a similar thing. By the way, head to Tyler's Twitter page, T-Mill, at T-Mill Real Deal. He's got his bets up, T-Mill's best bets. He's trying to get back, fellas and ladies. He's trying to get back. Maybe make some money. Go check out his bets right there. Shout out to Mike Florio. We appreciate him. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I am Ron, the show. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me.
All right, so...
I have been asked if Carson Jeffrey is patterned after my partner Chris Sims, and I haven't thought about that, but you know, the subconscious has a mind of its own, because this guy is kind of tall, he's got a giant head like a truck battery, and he's kind of a dumbass, so it could be Chris Sims.
damn Mike.
That is great. That is
what
great.
A dismount.
The Texans are the complete and total crap storm this year.
Be lollygagging.
Tyler, I love you too, man. You're so H-Town.